Bibles, you can read with us this morning in the book of Genesis, chapter number 12. The book of Genesis, chapter number 12, starting at verse number 1. Again, remember the change in the order in the service tonight. We'll be starting at 7 o'clock. So remember that if you would. And I know that they'll be asking for pallbearers as well. So if you're able to be at that service tomorrow and you're willing to be a pallbearer, if you'll let me know after service as well, so I know how many I'll have when I meet with them later on today. In Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1, what I want to talk to you today about is a Father's Day vision, a vision for your family. And a few weeks ago, I sit down and began to read about the life of Abraham and several things that God kind of placed in my heart about this service today. And I want to give you an acrostic on the word bless. And the vision that God gives to you to be a blessing to someone else. The words of the Lord says in Genesis 12 and 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Notice how many times that word bless is found in this vision that God gives to Abraham. Verse 2, "I will bless thee. Thou shalt be a blessing." Verse 3, "I will bless them." And then the end of the verse says, "All families of the earth shall be blessed." Amen. May the Lord bless you this morning. Thank you for your attention in the reading of the word of the Lord. I would like to talk to all of the fathers today about your vision for your family and also this country. We're at a critical time in the history of America. We're at a critical time in the unfolding of our nation's history. And I really believe God would love to give a vision to the fathers. Why the fathers? Well, if there's anything we know about God's word concerning the father was the vision caster for the family. He was the pace setter. He was the disciple maker. And life unfolds a story, and it directs us upon a path that leads to life and death. Both of those things are set before us. Matter of fact, both of those things are contained in the power of the tongue, both life and death. The Bible tells us, without a vision, the people perish. So every father has to have a vision for his family. Soon, some will welcome in their firstborn to this world. And it's hard to believe these young married couples were having babies. And then those toddlers find their way to school. And then those elementary children become middle schoolers. And then they start talking about cars and college. And then they start talking about having children of their own. And it's hard for some to sit here and to see that whole plan of God in one photo album. But that's how God sees our life. He looks into Abraham and he unfolds the photo album, and he goes all the way to the very end of the photo album, and he tells him what some of the final pictures are going to be. He tells him and shows to him what he wants the vision to be, to unfold. And I think that's relevant in our lives because we need to know where God wants to take us And if we know where God wants to take us, we know some things to avoid, some things to stay out of, and we know the path to journey down. But if we don't know where God is wanting to take us and what God is wanting to do in our life, then we're prone to distraction, we're prone to wandering, and we're prone to making mistakes or even getting involved in things that God designs not for our life. And so a Father's Day vision. And he gives one to Abraham, and I want to talk to you about this vision that God gives to him. And if you make notes or you write things down, I want to give you this acrostic about the word blessed. The first thing, notice that Abraham did in his life. In verse number 7 of the 12th chapter, the Bible says that he builds an altar to the Lord. The first way that God was able to give this vision to Abraham was that Abraham built an altar to the Lord. That's the first thing. We've got to build an altar. Now, one thing about men, we know that we're used to being in charge. We're used to making the decisions for our family. We're used to people looking to us to make the choices, yes or no, right or wrong, good or bad. But if there's one thing we know about Abraham, the Bible tells us later on that he was a wealthy man. He was a man that was, as far as this world is concerned, he had plenty of possessions, that he had plenty of cattle, that he had plenty of money. But yet we still find him building altars to the Lord, because when we build an altar to God, it reminds us that he is in charge of our life. It reminds us that he is our boss, that we are under him in the chain of command, that we are the priest of our house, that we are the head of our households, but we're not the head of our life, that there is someone above us. And it's relevant, it is paramount for every man, every father, to build an altar and to find out the direction of God for their family. It's even interesting where he builds this altar. The Bible says in verse number 8 that he builds it between Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And that's relevant because those two words are very different words in the Hebrew language. The word Bethel is the house of God. It's the place of worship. It is that place that God's presence moves in our lives. It's Bethel. You remember when Jacob went to Bethel, he had an encounter with God. And so on one side is the house of God, and on the other side is Hai. Hai means ruins. It means devastation. It means utter chaos. And so in between these two places, Abraham builds an altar to God. And every father finds himself in between those two places. That the devil would love for us to make decisions that leads our family to a place of destruction, to a place of ruins. But there's also that place that if we turn to the other direction, that we can find the blessings of God and the purpose of God in our life. It is relevant, men, it's relevant, fathers, that we build an altar to the Lord. Not just here today, but throughout our life and throughout Abraham's life, he was building altars to God, except one place. He never built an altar to God in Egypt. You can't build an altar in this world. You've got to make that place where you talk to God and say, God, what do you want out of my family? Lord, my children that are home, what do you want out of their life? Where are you taking me? You grandfathers praying over your grandchildren, God, save my grandchildren. Use my grandchildren for the work of the Lord. The Bible says that train up a child in the way that he should go. And I believe that is more than just a cookie cutter system of training. It's more than just one system of training every child. But every child has a tendency or a proclivity to different strengths and weaknesses. Whether you have three, as I do, or as Brother Martin that has a tribe, he'll tell you that every one of them are different. They're different in their strengths, they're different in their giftings, they're different in their callings, they're different in their weaknesses. And so in their weaknesses. So we must talk to God and say, God, why have you given this child to me? Lord, in what way should I direct this child? In what way should I train this child? Because to train a child is more than teaching them. It is training them. Oh, God, help us today. That it's more than just lecturing my son. I've got to train him, or I've got to show him how to do it. That it's more than him hearing me say it, but I've got to show him how to do it. Abraham built an altar before the Lord. Amen. I trust men. I trust fathers today that we're talking to God, that we're building altars to God about our family. Because if we don't reach our children, if you don't win your children to God, then who is going to win your children to God? And matter of fact, the spiritual condition of your family is laid upon your doorstep. That the responsibility of your family is spiritually, it's not laid upon the mother. It's not laid upon the Sunday school teachers, but as a dad and as a father, it is laid upon my shoulders. That's a lot of weight for the men here today. Amen. That's a lot of responsibility upon your shoulders. And God said, one way that I can bless you, build me an altar. Amen. Don't fight it in your own flesh. Don't fight it in your own ability, but build me an altar and we're going to talk about things. Build me an altar and we'll converse. Build me an altar and I'll bless you. Build me an altar and I'll give you strength. Build me an altar and I'll direct you. Build me an altar. If we don't build God an altar, we're telling God that we can do it without his strength. We can do it without his wisdom. We can do it without his ability. If we don't build an altar for God, what we're really telling him, I'm in charge. And we'll mess up every time. But every time we build an altar unto the Lord, it is us telling God, I need your help. I've got to have your direction. I am living between blessing and ruin. I am living between the revival and the presence of God and the sins of this world. I'm living between these two places, and the only way I can make right decisions is if I build an altar unto the Lord. Number two, you've got to live by faith. Abraham had plenty of wealth. He had plenty of money. If anybody was going to endure a famine, it was Abraham. But notice what happens in verse number 10 of this same chapter. The Bible says that there was a famine in the land. Being a father is never going to be easy. Having a vision from God is never going to be easy. How many of those are going to be obstacles in life? There's going to be tests and trials, adversity. Abraham faces a famine. He's got plenty of money. He's got plenty of cattle. He's got plenty of a lot of things. But notice what the Bible says he does. He goes down into Egypt. He makes the wrong choice. He goes in the wrong direction. Number two, in blessing, live by faith. God wants us in the land of Canaan. He doesn't want us leaning on the arm of flesh. He doesn't want us going down into Egypt, lest Egypt would get the credit and the glory for bringing us through the famine. But Abraham should have built an altar to God. He should have got down on his face before God and said, God, here's what your vision told me to do. And Lord, my heart is telling me to go to Egypt. But I know if I go to Egypt, I'm going to mess up. Because I've seen a lot of fathers go down to Egypt and their children never come back. Amen. Fathers think that it's just for a quick little visit. It's a quick little journey. But I'm going to tell you, friend, we are still suffering today for Abraham's journey down into Egypt with the relationship of Hagar. We are still paying the price. And it is incalculable when a father takes his family to Egypt, the price that he is going to pay his children. Amen. There's no cost that we can put upon a journey into Egypt. That's why the word of the Lord tells us that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it is by his spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. That God will do what he has to do, but the people of God will not perish. David said, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen. It's never right to go down into Egypt. Amen. Friend, hear me, hear me, hear me. Never listen to the philosophy of Egypt in how to provide for your family. Amen. They might be able to create a few dollars in your pocket. Amen. They might cause you to live through the famine, but your children are going to suffer irreparably, spiritually and financially on that journey. It's never worth it to go down into Egypt. It's never, never, never worth it to make that journey. Live by faith. God, what do you want out of my life? What do you want out of my children? What is your vision for your family? How many of you can see your teenagers serving God? How many of you can see your teenagers as young married couples raising their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord? How many of you can see your grandchildren preaching the gospel? How many of you can see your grandchildren teaching Sunday school and singing in the choir and working for God? How many of you can see into the portals of glory and see that the family circle has not been broken? Oh, I don't know the will of God for your job and your career and your house and all of that, but I do know it's God's will for our families to be saved. I do know it's God's will for all of our children to be together with us in heaven if the rapture sounds today, and anything that would cause that circle to be broken must be eliminated. Live by faith. Number three, E. When you find yourself in Egypt, exit Egypt quickly. If there's anything we know about Abraham, when he made a mistake, he corrected it. If he could. This meandering down into the land of Egypt, he wakes up and realizes that he has made a mistake. And it's by the provisional hand of God that he is able to get out, but he does get out. If you wake up today and you say, God, I want a vision for my family, and God gives you a vision for your family, and you don't like where you're at right now, exit Egypt. Start right here today. Start on this Father's Day and say, I want to be a better father. I want a vision for my family. I want a vision for my children. Amen. I want a vision for my grandchildren. I want a better vision for my marriage. I don't want to just exist. I want to thrive in the will of God. Because I really believe God gives the vision to the father of the home. Young people, how do you know when it's God's will, time to get married? God's going to give you your own vision for your life. You're going to begin to see God give you a vision to thrust you out. But the prodigal son and his father had differing visions. The father had one vision for his son, and the prodigal son had another vision. And when we have two visions, we have die vision. And so inside of that home with that father and the prodigal son is division. God will never give two visions to the same house. So fathers, what is the vision you have for your children? How many of you today would pray and seek God and say, God, I want a vision for my family. God, I want you to bless my family. I'm going to build an altar unto the Lord. I'm going to build in between chaos and blessing. I'm going to build God an altar and work for God. I'm going to live by faith. Because not all battles can be won right here. Not all battles can be won in strength or might, or we'd never lose a battle. We've got to live by faith. Exit Egypt. And number four. In the 13th chapter, God rehearses his vision to Abraham. In the 7th verse of the 12th chapter, God said, I'm going to give unto thee thy seed, and thy seed I will give thee this land, and unto the land, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And you know what Abraham does? He tries to, God tells him what he wants to do, and Abraham tries to solve the problem himself. He gets in trouble. So now we go to the 13th chapter, and we go to the 15th verse. After he exits Egypt and he comes back to God, he says, for all the land which thou seest to thy seed will I give it. God rehearses that vision. And he said, to thy seed forever, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. In that 13th chapter here, we see Abraham. What are you doing, Abraham? All he is doing is walking. All he is doing is just walking. And you say, what are you doing, Abraham? He said, God gave me a vision for my family, and as many steps as I take, God said I could have that. God said he would give it unto me. I don't want just a little, but he said every step that you take, unto the length of it, unto the breadth of it, I'm going to give it unto you. Amen. I'm going to bless your family. If you can number the sands of the sea, then you can then number the number of your seed. But oh, I'm going to bless thee. All the families in the earth will be blessed. Amen. When a father really gets a vision for his family, amen, he gets excited about it. He gets passionate about it. Amen. When you can lead your family, amen, when you know what God has spoken into your life, amen, God didn't just put us on this earth to live a few days. Amen. Buy a car, make a dollar, and die. And somebody lower us in the ground, but he made us eternal beings. We're going to live on somewhere, and God established the home, and he put that father in the home, and he wants to speak to that father concerning that family. And Abraham heard, and he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk. Amen. I'm going to stretch out the length of it, the breadth of it. Amen. I don't want my children just to be blessed a little bit by God. Amen, but I want them to know God in the fullness of his power. Amen, I don't want to be a complacent dad. Amen, I don't want to be a lukewarm dad. Amen, I want them to see me walking in worship. Amen, I want them to know I'm walking in the fear of the Lord. Amen, I want them to see me studying my Bible. Amen, I don't want to tell them how to do it. I want to lead them. Amen, when I take a look, amen, I want to see them following behind. Amen, I want to show them God's will and God's vision. Amen. I'd love for every father in this building today, amen, just to walk around this church and say, I'm claiming some new territory in God. Amen. I've been living without some things. Amen. I've been living without some blessings of the Lord. Amen. I've been living without the power of God in my life. Amen. I know you're working hard. Amen. I know it's tough times economically, but I'm going to tell you, amen, God never operates his church just on economic sense. Amen. But he calls men and women of God to step out in faith. If you'll put God first, you'll never lack. If you put God first, he'll supply your needs. If you put God first, he'll give you a better job. Amen. He'll do something to honor the steps that you're taking. Amen. Oh, walk it out today, fellas. Amen. Fathers, hear me today. Amen. God said, Abraham, take a stroll. Amen. Take a walk over this land, and however many steps you take, I'm going to give it unto you. Amen. How many would walk around this church today, amen, for the salvation of your children? Amen. How many take a stroll around this house today, amen, for your children to be baptized in the Holy Ghost? Amen. How many fathers that just curse the devil and say, I'm claiming healing for my children? Amen. I'm suffering economically. Amen. It's tough times financially. Amen. We're struggling at home. Amen. It's tough to put gas in the car. Amen. It's tough. I'm working 50 hours a week to make ends meet. But I'm still going to make some steps of faith today. I'm still going to start walking and believe God for some blessings of the Lord. I'm telling you, friend, amen, when God begins to give a vision for the fathers and they get excited and passionate about the things of God, man, it's not by
might, that it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. God wants to bless. God wants to pour out his spirit. God wants to encourage. He wants children to be saved. Oh God, this morning, amen, how many sitting in your seat right now would just lift a hand and say, God bless our families. Amen. God bless these men. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Step it out. Walk it out. Amen. I'm stepping out on faith. Amen. The devil said my children will rebel. I rebuke him. I take authority over him. He's a liar. Amen. I take claim this morning that God's going to bring my family together. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's get a vision this morning for our families. Let's get a vision for our country. It's a tough time spiritually, but anybody in this house, make some steps for revival, for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I know camp meetings next week. How about it? Make some steps today and say, God, give us a camp meeting. Give us an outpouring of your spirit. Give us a revival like we've never seen before. Amen. Stir our nation. Stir our children. Stir our families. Stir our mothers. Oh, God, bless our marriages. The devil is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But Lord, you're come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You established the home. Lord, you established marriage. You desire to bless marriages. You desire to bless families. The devil is a liar. And we claim victory this morning in the house of the Lord. We claim victory this morning, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Stay on course. Amen. Stay on course. Hear me, men. God gave you the vision. Stay on course. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Build an altar. Live by faith. Exit Egypt. Stay the course. Stay the course. It'll not always be easy. Stay the course. You'll be tested and tried, but stay the course. God gave you the vision. God gave you the course. He gave you the roadmap. Stay the course. And finally, the last S, start today. Let's start right now. Let's start today. God wants to give us a vision. God wants to give us a vision for our families. I heard a fellow say one time, and I've remembered it since I heard it. We're talking about another issue, but he said, nobody loves your family like you do. Get a vision for your children. Get a vision for your marriage. Get a vision for your home. What about 20 years from now? Where's God wants you to be? If we know where God wants us to wind up, if I know what God wants out of my life, then I know the direction to take. I don't have time for everything on both sides, because I know where God's wanting to take me. And so I've got to make steps in line with where he's wanting to take me. When we were on vacation in California last year, we took a drive up, I think it's Route 1 on the Pacific Ocean. Just old towns and little things. We had no agenda. We just was looking at every little city and looking at the Pacific. Gorgeous drive. We didn't get very far. We spent a lot of the day because we just drive, and if we seen something, we stopped and looked at it and get back in and drive, get some ice cream, sit in that little town, talk, get in the car, drive, get a hamburger, look at the ocean. We didn't go hardly anywhere that day because we just kind of whatever. When you see where God really wants to take you, when you see what God wants out of your children, and some things God isn't going to speak to us, we know they're in his word. It's like that GPS is telling us, go straight, go straight, turn left. We don't have time for everything. You know, I was, and this is interesting. One of the guys that created the GPS, one of those GPS systems. How many have those GPS that have voice activated that talk to you? I don't have one yet. I need one, but I'll get one. But they talk to you, right?
Is it a man's voice or a female's voice? It's a female's voice. All of them. 100% of them are female's voices. And the guy that works, I think Garmin or some high up, he said, we're so used to women as telling how to drive, we're just kind of used to it. He said it, I didn't. He said, and a guy doesn't like another guy telling him how to drive. Today, I really believe the Spirit of the Lord loved to speak to us. How many love to have a Father's Day vision for your family? Amen. I'm going to do a little different. I just like for all the fathers to line up here across the front this morning. Amen. Brother Mark, would you play something if you would? All the fathers all over the building today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless these fathers. God bless these fathers. Hallelujah. Thank you for the leaders of the church, God. Hallelujah. 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 Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God has a vision for every one of these families. Oh, God has a vision for every one of these families, their children, their grandchildren, where God wants to take them. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. I'm glad we've got fathers, aren't you? Fathers, you're the pace setters. You're the vision casters. You're the disciple makers of your home. Amen. God bless you today. Amen. As God wants to speak to you in a vision for your family. I'm not talking about you had too much pizza, and I'm not talking about you take blood pressure medicine and you thought you saw. Some of you probably have all kinds of visions in the middle of the night. I'm talking about really what God wants to do out of your family. Amen. Let's pray for our fathers right now as they begin to worship God. Amen. Children, mothers, wives, spouses. Amen. Let's pray for these fathers.